Mabel Dodge Lujan and Company, American Moderns and the West, continues at the Harwood Museum of Art in Taos until September 11th. The exhibition was co-curated by Malin Wilson Powell and Lois Rudnick. When Mabel Dodge arrived in Taos in 1918, "My life broke in two," she wrote later on. Mabel invited visitors to the 18-room house that she built at the edge of Taos Pueblo with her husband. That was Tony Lujan, a Taos Pueblo Indian, who she met in her first week at Taos. The spectacular American modernism that Mabel's patronage helped to shape is everywhere visible through the two floors of this exhibition. I spoke to Malin Wilson Powell in Santa Fe 10 days ago.
There is no exception. The exhibition covers from 1918 to 1947, when Mabel wrote a book called Taos and Its Artists, and that was really her last publication. And so that is the meat of the exhibition. Of course, there's some backstory, like with paintings from Florence and paintings from New York, to show her involvement in the avant-garde. But really, the meat of the exhibition is Taos and how it changed people, and the artist changed Taos.
She sent for her cook, and her coterie is a phrase the Denver Post used in their article. And it seems especially, and I wonder if you can talk a little bit about your co-curation with Lois, and especially the first floor, because there is, of course, that beautiful 1919 Marsden Hartley. And so one of the things that comes across is that even for artists who didn't stay in New Mexico stayed with them.
Mabel really gave people from New York, you know, a coal-fired city, everyone's depressed about the war and the aftermath of the war, and they get an invitation from Mabel, and she's, in the meantime, she's built a 23-room house, and she proceeds to build 5 guest houses, so it's a whole compound on the edge of Taos Pueblo, land that Tony Lujan found her, and the Pueblo Indians built all of these things. It's really a kind of informal residency program. They come, and some stay for 2 weeks, some stay for 5 months, and she gives them a new sense of time and space and place. You know, a completely new, I mean, anybody who's come to New Mexico from an urban environment and arrives here and they see what they see and feel what they feel, and they just cannot quite believe it. I mean, they've been told about the landscape, but, you know, I've always thought it should be in New Mexico called the skyscape, because you really feel like you're standing on the land in the sky. And so this was a new experience on every visceral, sensuous level that you could imagine. There is no exception, as I said. Every artist who came said it changed them fundamentally and profoundly.
It's so interesting to hear you explain this, because I suddenly called to mind that image in the show of the Penitente, of course, the dance that Martha Graham mm-hmm. choreographed with her husband shot against right. the sky in this position. And then one also thinks of the Tony Lujan, Ansel Adams portrait. As you were curating, as you were deciding the objects that you hoped to have in the mm-hmm. show, were you looking to illustrate these kinds of experiences as they were communicated in art?
Well, I have to say, I wasn't. I really am not somebody who's illustrating my own ideas. I really wanted to look at the art of the period, find the best examples that we could procure loans for, and then build. I mean, there is already a narrative underlying it all, which is the Mabel's life. And Lois Rudnick, Mabel's biographer, was responsible for all of that information, that rich information. Her own autobiography is 4 volumes, 500 pages each. She was guileless when she talked about her own lacks and her own sort of insanities brought on by being raised a Victorian child in a loveless home. She really examined herself almost anthropologically. So Lois's purview was really biographical. And my interest that I started in 1979, when I wrote a grant for the National Endowment for the Humanities for planning this exhibition, which was received in 1980, was really on the art, on the objects and how great they were. I wanted to learn from the objects. I wanted to see them in person and together. You know, that was my intention.
It also bears repeating that it was 1979 when you first proposed to begin to study this. So do you feel as a curator that you really spent those 30 years looking at objects, even if it wasn't in the front of your mind, in the back of your mind?
No, I actually, after that first year in 1980, I had a checklist of 150 objects I wanted to have in the exhibition. And so, you know, that all gets shuffled around about what's available. For instance, this summer, the Tate is having a George O'Keeffe exhibition. So pieces that we were sort of preliminarily told we could have were kind of withdrawn from us, because who wouldn't send their work to the Tate Gallery instead of to the Harwood? During that time, things certainly came up and became revealed that we couldn't find before. With the internet now and the research capabilities, you can find so many more things. But I'd say at least half of the checklist was already done in 1980.
Mabel Dodge Lujan and Company, American Moderns in the West, is wide-ranging as Mabel Dodge Lujan's life was. She was a woman who not only followed visions of utopia, but instigated social progress.
Mabel also brought forward Pueblo easel painting. Right. So she became, in a similar way to the role that she played bringing Picasso to New York, for example, awareness of Picasso to New York, she wound up playing this major role bringing a Pueblo easel painting also to New York from New Mexico. So talk about that. I mean, how important was she in getting knowledge of New Mexico circulated?
Oh, she was very important. She really thought that New Mexico offered a new model for society. And she wanted people to come, writers, of course, D.H. Lawrence and Mary Austin and Willa Cather. And so she really wanted to spread the word that there was a new way to live your life. When she came, I think she met Awad Sira through William Penhallow Henderson. They were close. She really developed a friendship with him. He did a mural on her house, but he was one of the most prolific of what is called Pueblo-style easel painting. And this, most Pueblo art was done either in kivas or on pottery. The Pueblo easel painting started out up at San Ildefonso, where there was a teacher who gave people materials to use. And Awasiro was from San Ildefonso, and as were Maria Martinez, the great potter. And so they had a connection. That is one of the closer Pueblos to Santa Fe. And they had a connection with the art community. And so they suddenly were able to make these portable objects that tourists would buy. And it was really a tourist thing, but it was also for them a sacred thing. They were putting down their rituals and their ceremonies. A lot of people at the early era compared their paintings to Persian miniatures, and that's why we had Mabel's Persian miniature collection in the exhibition. There's a diptych in the exhibition of women making pottery, and there's a Persian miniature of men dyeing cloth. What connected them, those two things, was that they were not from lens-based cultures. They were not using shadows in anything. It's a really interesting phenomena that David Hockney talked about, how only Western cultures use shadows in their work. They had a show at the New Mexico Museum of Art, which had just opened. Mabel bought all of the paintings in the show. And then John Sloan, who spent a lot of his summers here in Santa Fe, arranged for them to go to New York. What is interesting to me about them is that they do not have, so they're not modernist in the sense of boldness, but they're modernist in the sense of a completely new way of looking.
I mean, their composition is also really incredible to see, just their sense of order in the picture plane and their sense of, I was with somebody who compared one of them to a Mirandi still life, knowing when to stop, let's say.
Right, right.
And then comparing that to what Dorothy Brett did with the scene of Christmas Eve outside of Tao's church.
Dorothy Brandt, when she came from England with D.H. Lawrence and his wife on their second trip, and she, of course, this was one of the first things that Mabel and Tony did, is they took their guests to Pueblo dances. And I think everyone is just absolutely, they cannot believe that these traditions and rituals are going on. And you could put out your arm and touch these dancers. And the drum is, you know, thrumming through your whole body, and you're there. And the Christmas Eve Pueblo painting is very dramatic, of course. And it's also syncretic in the sense that it's in front of the church. The Pueblo Indians just simply took on the Catholicism as another layer that didn't in any way submerge their own rituals. And so this painting is very dramatic, and it's sort of a flattened out painting, which is really that kind of design sense comes from the Native American. And the rest of her life, Dorothy Brett's primary paintings were her, what she called her ceremonials. But of course, in the Native American Pueblo style painting, there are no buildings. They are working in abstract time and space because their rituals are eternal. They're not there in weather, in anything. They are a devotional, they are a record of a devotional ritual. And yet there is an exchange.
I also was struck by your press preview in which you explained looking for an image of a morada that nevertheless would not be a morada in Taos.
Yes, the morada is the building that is a place, it's where a brotherhood or cofradía meets. They've been doing these rituals for 400 years because they are the farthest outpost of New Spain. So they had to invent their own ways of maintaining their devoutness and their faith. They have a lot of what are called santos, which are a type of painting or sculpture, a retablo or a bultos. And this brotherhood has very specific duties to their community and rituals that they also perform. They're in this private a building that only they can go to and where they meet and they perfect what are their rituals. So these are very sacred spaces, very private. And I really wanted to show, because we have paintings of the outsides of Morada, but we would definitely not show the inside of a Morada in Taos. Ansel Adams did an interior of a Morada that's very beautiful, and you can see sort of how all of the santos are hung in the sacred space.
The exhibition will travel to the Albuquerque Museum of Art from October 29th to January 22nd, 2017. It will conclude in Buffalo, New York, Mabel Dodge Lujan's hometown, at the Birchfield Penny Art Center. It will run there from March 10th, 2017 to May 28th, 2017. For Adobe Airstream Radio, I'm Ellen Berkovich.